Thank you all for giving today. Did you enjoy the ministry of Pastor Hector Soto today? What a privilege to have he and Roxanne. Roxanne, his wife, is on the organ today. And they just a dynamic duo. We were trying to figure up yesterday how long we've known each other, and it's, I don't know, it's well over 30 years. He doesn't give me credit, but he's served at the same church. This is his 25th year serving. I call him the worship bishop because they have multiple campuses and he oversees all of it. But I got him that job. He refuses to give me the credit, but the pastors there said, if you could get anybody to come lead worship, I said, hands down, you got to get Hector Soto. And that was 25 years ago. And I don't know, you owe some tithe or something on that miracle. I think it's worked out all right. But I am thrilled to have my friends in the house. And he invested into our team yesterday, and they're better for it. And just a blessing. So I'm thankful and grateful that they are with us, and he's going to come back here in just a few moments. I'm going to stay brief today and allow us to have some worship on the back end, and I know that that will bless your heart as well. Don't forget, next Sunday, best Sunday ever. Grab some of these cards, let people know, because it's going to be a great day. And let me say this, we have you that attend here faithfully week after week, I've got all different speeds and styles in me, and sometimes I'm the best Baptist preacher you've ever heard, and other times I'm just a sweating, snotting Pentecostal. But let me preach to your friends. Let me preach to your family in a language that their ears hear and that their hearts understand, and where their spirits are receptive. You know, regardless of the speed of the word, regardless of the volume of the word is the word. And Pastor Darrell doesn't have to be sweating or running across this stage for you and I to be in agreement with that word, or for us to be behind that word. So regardless of what speed I'm going, I want you to respond, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference when your friends hear you responding. It's one thing to hear something preached that we know is truth, but, well, I don't guess anybody believes that. I don't guess anybody agrees with that. But when they hear people agreeing with the word, the Bible said that the promises of God are yea and amen. Yea and amen. That's the yea is being declared. I'm declaring the word of God. The amen is coming from the congregation. And when those two things get together, when those two things meet in a service, there is breakthrough and miracle and beautiful and awesome things that happen. And that's what we want for our friends and our family next Sunday and every single Sunday. So be mindful of that. And I'm grateful that you're so attentive and reaching with me in the word of the Lord. And we've been in a series called Experience Glory, and I feel it. It's not ending today. I'm ending this series specifically, but glory doesn't end. We're still pursuing and reaching and wanting the best that God has for us. But we've been teaching around the ark. We've been teaching around just the move of God. Pastor George Hancock was here last Sunday. I didn't ask him to preach about the ark. I didn't tell him what I had been preaching the last few weeks. He came and told me Sunday morning, said, man, I feel so strong that I need to preach about this. And I said, man, preach. And it was so much of the things that we've already been talking about, and it was just beautiful the way you responded to the word and the way that God responded to all of us. And I'm grateful because we are pursuing something, and we are after something, and reaching for something, and God is showing himself strong. He's showing himself in your homes and in your families and in your marriages and in your finances and certainly in our house. And I'm grateful. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied yet. I haven't seen everything that I want to see. I haven't experienced all that I want to experience. I want everything that God has for me. And I know that you want everything that God has for you. So I want to look at Haggai today, chapter 2. And I'm going to be quick. There's just a few verses I want to work my way through today. Haggai, it's pronounced different ways. Chapter 2, beginning at verse number 3. Look at somebody and tell them, sometimes it's good to be late. Not when you're starting church, but sometimes it's good to be late. That'll make sense to you here in just a few moments. Haggai chapter 2, if you're in your Bibles or on your smart device and following along or taking notes, he asked the question, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? Who is left that saw the house in its former glory? Who remembers back when? I know we've talked a lot about that in recent weeks. We did a back to old school series. I was clear with you. There's so much of that I do not want to go back to. There's so much of that that, you know, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and it was great. But the values and the moorings and the commitment and the heart toward the things of God, we never should have left that anyway. That needs to be in us and with us even now. But he's asking, who is left? Who is left who saw this house in its former glory? I'm thankful for those memories. I'm thankful for those lessons. I'm thankful for those experiences. I still have roots that run deep into that ground, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that those roots have not been separated or pulled up or cut away. But you may even take that personal today. Who remembers or who saw this house, this church, this building, that building? Who saw it in its former glory? And then he goes on to continue asking, how does it look to you now? When you think about those good old days, are you comparing them to current times? He's pointedly asking, how does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? What about now? You remember your faith experience then. You remember your spiritual desire and the thrusting of your heart toward God things. What does it seem like to you now? Does it seem like nothing? I think sometimes when we're remembering those days, it makes these current times seem like nothing, because memories are tricky. Our minds highlight the good, and they suppress the difficult. You know, the whole story is never told at a funeral. We tell all of the good things about whomever it is lying in the casket. We have nothing but funny stories, nothing but good times to share. No one talks about the arguments or the challenges or the difficult times. No, because our minds highlight the good and they suppress the difficult. But the danger in being so past focused is that you stop being future pulled. And that's a challenge for us right now, because many are frustrated. We're frustrated with the state of our country. We're frustrated with crime in communities. And we talk about, man, it wasn't like this when we were coming up. We didn't have these kinds of issues. There wasn't disrespect and customer service, you know. It was at a premium. And we remember former experiences, and we remember what we define as better days. And if we're not careful, we'll just be frustrated with today, because today is not yesterday. if we're not careful, we'll be aggravated with today, and we will not be looking forward with any kind of anticipation. We will not be looking forward with any kind of excitement because we are frustrated with where we are right now. I've come to warn you today that God lets you be born at this time for a purpose. God allowed you to be a part of this church at this time for a specific purpose. I'm not waking up today wishing it was yesterday. I'm excited about today. I'm not waking up today mad that last week is gone. I'm thankful for what God is doing right now in my life, and not only what he's doing, but what he's going to do in my life. Because the future is only important to people who are still alive. Think about that for a moment. It only matters to people who are still breathing. Because if you quit, if you stop living even while you're still breathing, you're missing out on what God has for you. You're missing out on what God wants to do in you and through you in the way that he wants to move. I don't know about you, but I'm going somewhere. I'm being pulled into the future. I've got work to do. I've got purpose that needs to be fulfilled in my life, and I don't want to miss what God has for me. And I know you feel the same way about your spiritual walk. But look at verse 4. He says, "But now be strong, Zerubbabel." Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. When you consider all of this, when you face all of these challenges. What a beautiful ministry moment, Heather, as you talked personally about the struggle, the challenge of life, and yet here I am in the greatest season of struggle, but it's also the greatest season of miracle and sustaining and blessing. I mean, it's the craziest dichotomy that we have in our life. It's so hard, and yet it's so holy. It's so difficult, and yet it's so divine. It's so painful, and yet it is so powerful. Is anybody feeling that in your life? Which way do I go? Do I lean into the depression of the difficult time, or do I lean into the divine? You lean into the divine because that is what is going to get you through all of the struggle and the challenge. Be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Bill. Be strong, David. Be strong, Donnie. Why? Because God has declared something over our lives. So we got to be strong. We got to be strong because the opportunities to give up are too many. The last days are heavy days. The times we're living in are challenging times. There's trouble on every side. But I've risen on this September Sunday morning to tell you there is hope. There is hope. There's people that came today and you didn't want to come. You're downtrodden. Your back is bent with burden. That there is strain in your spirit because life is happening. Time and chance is happening to all of us. They may be here today, but they told me last Sunday, and I appreciated their testimony so much. They said that when they woke up last Sunday morning, everything in them said, just stay in bed, just keep struggling, just put pull the covers and just spend the day watching football, whatever it is the enemy tries to entice us with. He said, I didn't want to come, but he said, I made myself get out of bed, get dressed, make the drive. And he said, I'm so glad because that word was for me. I said, isn't it amazing? It's amazing that the devil did not win today. Everybody that picked yourself up and drove yourself to the house of God, every one of you that threw covers off and got online with us today, you're going to be so glad this week because your spiritual success begins on Sunday. You're beginning in the presence of God, and God is going to make the difference in your life. Is anybody grateful for what happens when I get in the presence of the Lord? It's nothing like it. So be strong. Be strong. I love what Paul said. Paul said, we get glad when we are weak because you are strong. He said, I almost welcome weakness in my life. It's almost as though I welcome struggle in my life because it is another opportunity to see God be strong. Now, I'm not advising you to pray later today or when you wake up Monday morning. All right, devil, I want you to bring the best you have. I want you to tempt me. I want you to create struggle just so I can see the miracle power of God. No, the Bible said not to tempt. Not to tempt evil, not to tempt the devil. Don't play games with that kind of thing. But hear me, when you are weak, when you do find yourself in situation and circumstance and you feel yourself being challenged and you feel the difficulty of the day, you ought to start looking over your shoulder. Lord, I don't know where you're coming from today. I don't know how you're going to show up today, but I know when I'm weak, that's when you do your best work in my life. So here I am with weakness in my finance. Here I am with a weakness in my relationship. Here I am with weakness in my health. And the Lord is coming in strength. Look at somebody and tell them, be strong. And then verse 5, he said, this is what I covenanted. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. It represents our former lives. Our former lives of bondage. We were slaves to sin. The Red Sea is a type of baptism. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Because when I brought you out of Egypt, I know you stood there at the Red Sea and thought, well, we came just a few hundred yards. We traveled just a couple of miles out of our bondage, and now we have been brought to this Red Sea to die. And God spoke to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know who I'm preaching to on September 25th, 2022, but somebody needs to stand still. Stop running away from God. Stop running away from church. Stop running away from his presence. Stand and see just what God will do, because he said, this is the promise that I made. This is the covenant that I made with you. And guess what? My spirit remains among you. I made a promise that I'm going to see you all the way through. Not leaving you. I thought about that old song. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. Right now in your life, answer this question. Is the problem I'm facing bigger than the promise God made to me? Is the problem I'm facing bigger than the promise that God made to me? It's a matter of shifting my perspective. It's a matter of stopping to focus. Stop focusing on the negative and start focusing on the positive. So this is what the Lord Almighty says. Verse 6. This is what God says about your circumstance. Can I encourage someone in this room? Do not discount the power of a word in your life. The word we get on Sunday, the word we get in small groups, the word that we're taught in CY, the word that we discover in our daily devotion. Do not discount the power of a word in your life, because God is speaking to us. We have to remove the distractions that make it harder for us to hear him. That's the challenge that we have. But he said, this is the word. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. In a little while, I'm going to do it in a little while. Now, I don't want to disappoint you today, but I got to be honest with you. I don't know how long a little while is. I don't know. I know my mom used to tell me, she's watching today, we may go in a little while. Seemed like a little while lasted 2 weeks. In a little while to a child, in a little while to someone who has no concept of time, I'm going to ground you. I always wanted her to tell me how long I was going to be grounded for. No, you're going to be grounded for a little while. How long is that? I don't know. This is kind of an open-ended deal, and I need to know exactly how many days I got to be good to turn this situation around. I don't know how long a little while is, because so many of us lose the battle right here in the waiting. That's where the struggle is for us. That's where the turmoil is for us. Because some in this room have been waiting days. Others have been waiting months. There's people that have been waiting for years. Waiting on God to fulfill the promise. Waiting on God to come with the breakthrough. Waiting on God to move and to heal and to help and to break through and to do his supernatural work in our lives. I wish I could give you the date on a calendar. I wish I could set a timer on your phone. I wish I could tell you exactly how long it will be. All I know is what Isaiah said. You have to wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord are going to renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and never be weary. They will walk and not faint. I may need to pause the message today and give someone an opportunity to be renewed. Someone who's been waiting. Someone who's grown impatient. Someone who's become weary in well doing. Come on, flap your wings like an eagle. Run and don't get weary. Keep walking and do not faint, because if we will stay faithful, patience isn't a virtue. Patience is vicious. It's hard to wait. It's no fun to wait. But the word really is not wait like the little old lady sitting at the bus stop. The word wait is like the server who waits the table. The server who makes sure you have what you need. The server that makes sure your sweet tea is filled up to the brim. That's why it's important that I don't sit and stew in this season. It's important that I serve and soar in this season. While I'm waiting, I'm not just looking at my watch all day long, tapping my toe, getting more frustrated with God with every passing moment. No, I'm going to occupy until he comes. I'm going to busy myself in the work of the Lord. I'm going to busy my hands. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. So I'm going to give my mind something to focus on, because if I leave it unattended, if I leave it without focus, then it just runs off. The heart is deceitful above all things. If I just let it run, it's wild and vain imaginations. I'm going to have me off in some craziness somewhere. But if I'll just wait on the Lord, if I'll just serve his house with gladness, if I'll just serve his presence, if I'll just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, you know what? My miracle will tap me on the shoulder and say, I know you didn't expect me today, but here I am. My breakthrough will just whisper in my ear, I know you're busy serving, but I showed up in miraculous power today. Is anybody thankful that in a little while God is going to do what he promised he would do? I feel this word in me today. I feel it because God is helping us and God is making the difference in our lives. So what are we waiting for? What is it that God is going to do? He said, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Much of what we are feeling in the earth today is the shaking of the Lord. It is the shaking of a society. I have found myself saying, even though I have been a student of the Word all my life, even though I've heard incredible preaching and incredible teaching and informative words and been taught and all of that, I have sat just amazed and astounded. I didn't realize it was going to happen like this. I didn't realize they were going to be deceived. The Bible said the very elect, the smartest among us, those that you never thought possible, are going to lose heart in this day. There is a shaking. I will shake all nations. But while the shaking is going on, I'm also filling the house with glory. While society is shaking, the church is rocking. I'm preaching better than you're amening today. While the world is losing its mind, the church is getting more focused than ever. While the world is going crazy, the church is becoming committed again, and we are going to see a harvest in these last days. Paul said in Hebrews that creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things remain. The question becomes, can the world around me shake and I remain? Can people I know and friends I love choose another path and I remain faithful? Can people I love go crazy, but I remain committed? Well, the reality is we can't shake and sugarcoat at the same time. We need a strong word in this season. We need strong doctrine to be taught. We need strong word and strong commitment to be taught in this season. Otherwise, I am going to be shaken until my brains fall out of my head. Somebody say, I refuse. I refuse to be shaken out of his presence. I refuse. We know the earth, Romans taught us, creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. We know there is a groaning in the earth. Our communities are groaning. Our cities are thirsting and they don't even know what it is they're wanting. Don't even know what it is they're looking for. That's why you and I have to pick up cards and pass them out, best Sunday ever. Because you're hungry and you don't even know what it is you're hungry for. Don't tell them that. You're thirsty and you don't even realize what it is that you're thirsty for. Your heart is craving to be in the presence of God, and you think it's craving something else. I'm inviting you to come into the presence of God with me and find out that you were created. You were made to sit in heavenly places. You were made for moments just like this. We got to get into highways and byways. We've got to go after people and compel them into the presence of the Lord, because there is a shaking that is happening in the earth. Let me move quick. Verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Because he said when this shaking starts happening, money is going to get real funny. They're going to talk about things like inflation and recession. But I'm calling the church to command the blessing. Y'all not ready for this today. You see, they said inflation and I heard increase. They said recession and I heard revival. Because I refuse to fear. I refuse to think that after God has kept me this far, that he's going to fail me now. I refuse to believe that I'm going to survive all these 49 and nearly 50 years of life of God keeping me and protecting me and providing for me, to think that God is going to fail me now. Devil, you came too late to whisper that in my ear. Negative naysayer, you came too late to get me. God is going to keep me. God is going to hold me. God is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of this church. He's going to take care of your family. If I'll make his business my business, guess what, baby? He'll make my business his business. Come on, somebody that's blessed, say yes. Almost went TV preacher for a moment. It's the word of God, and I'm excited about it, because they say impossible, and I say no. All things are possible through Christ who gives me strength. They're negative. I refuse. And then verse 9. I said all that to say this. He said, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord. Preaching today when late is great. We preach it all the time. Be early. Early bird gets a worm. Get there. I still believe all that, by the way. But there's a reason you were born in this generation, at this time, in this season. You see, Haggai and Zerubbabel, Joshua, all of these men, they were trying to figure out, how are we going to do church in the shadow of Solomon's temple? Everything was gold and ornate and beautiful and magnificent. And he said, that season has come and gone, and now, we just have our hands and these few coins in our pocket. And the word of God came that said, the glory of this latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. I don't know if you realize this, but you are the latter house. Is not your body the temple of the Holy Ghost? I am the glory of God. We're thankful for buildings. We're thankful for these chairs and this air conditioner that has shown up work today. We're grateful. But the church, ladies and gentlemen, you can pinch it. It'll hurt. You can slap it. The church is you and I. We are the latter glory of God. And he said, as great as the struggle is, as difficult as the days are, as hard as the season you're in may be, the glory on the late house is greater than the glory on the early house. That's not possible. An entire Bible was dedicated, written to the early days of the church. Yeah. But that same Bible said that eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and it's not even entered into the heart of man. That same Bible said that he would do exceedingly beyond anything that we could ask or think. Somebody say, that's me. That's my house. That's my life. That's what God is doing here and now. Being late is great. Being alive at this time is just exactly where I want to be. And he said, in this place I'm going to grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. I don't know who I'm preaching to today that needs peace. Peace in your home, peace in your family, peace in your marriage, peace in your finances. But trust me today, if you will lean into this word, at the latter house, greater than the former house. Who is it that remembers the former glory? Well, get ready, because God is about to do even greater in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In this moment, someone is making a decision. Someone is making a choice. Someone is ready to say yes. Someone has been frustrated. Someone has been overwhelmed. Someone has struggled with depression. The anxiety is next level in your life. But he said, I have come to make sure that you have peace in your heart, peace in your spirit, peace like a river in your life. I pray today over homes. I pray today over marriages. I pray over relationships. I pray today over bodies, health, anxiety, struggle, strain, the stress of it all. Today God moves. Today God works. Today God heals. Today God helps. Today God makes the difference in my life. If you need that personally, if you need that personally, I want you just to lift your hand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're not, yeah, I see you. I see you. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Today I need God to do something in my life. Father, you see each hand. You see each heart. You see each mind today. Today we say yes. We say yes to your spirit. We say yes to your healing. We say yes. We say yes to that deliverance in our lives. Come on, if you've never given your life to Jesus, just tell him, say, Lord, I repent of my sin. I denounce the world. I say no to every negative thing that has been haunting me and hunting me today. I say yes to everything you have for me. I say yes to your goodness. I say yes to heaven. I say yes to glory in my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, can we give praise today for people? Yeah. Making decisions. People making decisions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand on your feet? Our team is coming back. I want them to lead us in worship. a few more moments today. Hang with us if you can. If you gotta go, God bless you. But I think you're gonna wanna be here for just a moment. If you want special prayer today, I would love to pray with you. I'll come personally agree with you today and ask God to move in your life, and He'll do just that. In Jesus' name.
Oh, God, my God.
Oh, God, my God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now.
Oh, Rock of Ages. Sing it in faith. Oh God, I need you.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you.
How I need you now.
How I need you now.
You're my rock of ages.
Oh rock of ages. I'm standing on your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness. Sing it, Dreda. You heard your children.
You heard your children.
You hear them now.
You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You are providing.
You are providing now.
You are.